DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Dr. Patricia Cooney Hathaway, who is an associate professor of spirituality and systematic theology at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. She earned a doctorate in systematic theology from the Catholic University of America. She speaks nationally on the topics of theology, spirituality, and human and spiritual adult development. And she's a regular contributor to Mosaic Magazine and other publications. With Dr. Patricia Cooney Hathaway, we go inside the pages of Weaving Faith and Experience, published by Franciscan Media. I have to tell you, I do love Weaving Faith and Experience, A Woman's Perspective. It is a part of the Call to Holiness series by St. Anthony Messenger, and it's a gem that I really hope people will not overlook when it comes to deepening their faith walk. It's really quite wonderful.
So happy to have this opportunity to speak with you, Chris. This is just wonderful. Thank you very much. It's an area, a combination of areas that I have worked on for many years in terms of theology, spirituality, and the whole role of human development. I think sometimes women think of human and spiritual development as over and against each other, and the truth of the matter is that they interweave throughout our life, and that's what I'm trying to help women to see.
Women's spirituality in particular has gotten into such a quagmire of debate and thought about which direction it should go over the last, what, maybe 20 or 30 years in particular, with even our confusion about what the maternal nurturing, the feminine aspects of our spiritual life. I mean, it has really confused women, hasn't it?
Well, I think it has. I think women get mixed messages from our culture as to who they are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think every woman needs to take a look at what her own gifts and talents are and then really try to develop them in such a way that they are full expression of who they are. Every woman has a variety of qualities and characteristics, and I've just tried to encourage women to get to know their gifts and to know that the Lord wants them to develop those gifts and use them to bring the gospel into the world, into their family life, into whatever it is that they're doing.
Mm. Well, how did you get interested in the topic?
Well, I got interested in the topic because when I started to do spiritual direction and pastoral counseling, I found that when women brought to me a psychological issue, there's always a spiritual component to it. Mm-hmm. And if they came with a spiritual issue, like they had a hard time praying to God as Father, for example, that there was always maybe a psychological dimension of it as well. And then I thought, we have to help women see that their human development and their spiritual development go on together, that, you know, as John 10 says, you know, God wants us to flourish. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. And I began then to offer a course at Marygrove College on faith and human development, and the students just ate it up because it spoke to their experience and it helped them to see where God was in their everyday life. And many of them were used to trying to find God in their sacramental life of the church, but they didn't think of their own life as the context of God's visitation. So that's what started it.
I think you bring up a really important point that as we do spiritual direction, as people are trying to seek to go deeper into that interiority of encountering with that open heart, that somehow in our culture we separate that experience with psychological issues, that somehow we go to a psychologist to deal with psychology and somehow our spiritual life is separate. It's almost a schizophrenia of the soul, isn't it?
Well, yes, and what I try to show in my book is that psychology is its own discipline, and spirituality is our own sacred discipline, and the two can complement each other, but they should not be compromised or try to, you know, absorb one into the other. Psychology is concerned about the human mind, emotions, what do we want to do with our life, and spirituality is all about what it means to fall in love with God and live a life in such a way that God is the fullness of our desires. So they should be compatible and help one gain insight for the other. And what I try to show that some psychological theories, not all, but some psychological theories give us some insight into the nature within which grace works. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to help men and women to see, that grace works through our human experience. God works through our human experience, and how to try to recognize God and not miss the opportunity in their everyday life.
Well, you point that out in the book, that he really works in not just the all of salvation history, all of mankind's history, but he works in our history. There's
that's
a
right.
breakthrough into our history, and that's significant for our placement in this moment in time.
Yes, yes. I draw from that wonderful Old Testament story of the potter, you know, where Yahweh says to Jeremiah, go and watch the potter. And he goes and watches the potter who's molding the vase, and part falls off, and the potter puts it back in and tries to again mold and carve the vase. And the Lord says, you know, as you see that potter working with that vase, so do I work with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I hold you in the palm of my hand, and every part of your life I'm with you in. And that's what I try to help women to see. There's a partnership here with God, that God's not going to force himself on us, but God wants a love relationship, and that has to come from our being free enough to say, yes, I want a relationship with you in my life.
Well, you really do explore the wrenching and puzzling questions women in their middle years need to ask. And I'm finding myself that, you know, who am I? Who am I with? Where am I going? Where am I going to move forward to it in my relationship with God and others?
I try to talk about that. The book is St. Anthony Messenger Press wanted me to focus on, you know, the autumn years. And the second half of life is different from the first, but it's not separate from the first. So I try to talk about the seasons of life, the spring, summer, autumn, winter. And the autumn and winter are really the afternoon of life, when someday we wake up and we realize that half of our life is over.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue of half our life is over often brings on a midlife transition or a midlife crisis. Where have I been? What's it all meant? Who have I become? Who am I with? And what legacy do I want to leave? What's it all about? And those are the religious questions. And I think women have to have enough life experience to then say, and then, where is God in all this? Where has God been in all this? And where is God going to be in my future? These are very important questions in order for us to really move forward gracefully. And that's another issue for women. How do you grow older gracefully in a culture that worships youth?
Mm-hmm.
How do you develop those qualities of compassion and competence that grow better with age? And women have to face the worship of youth and model for women that we can grow older gracefully. We have much to contribute throughout all our life. And I try to deal with those questions as they come up in marriage, as they come up in careers, and to help women see that God is in all those questions and is drawing us into a deeper, more substantial spirituality through our trying to wrestle with those questions.
We really do have a struggle as we approach those middle years, that we have, as you pointed out, a culture that really exalts the youth. And that somehow, if you get older, you're almost failing.
Right.
What's wrong with you that you don't want to have this youthful appearance, that you have to spend what money you can to be able to revitalize every aspect of your physical presence? And yet there's something going on inside of us that's saying that we're growing into a different season.
Yes. Sister Connie Fitzgerald is a Carmelite sister, and I mentioned this in my book because she expresses it so well. She says, you know, at birth, we're all body and little spirit. But she says, as we grow older, there comes a time when we peak physically,
mm-hmm.
and we begin a slow or, for some, a quick decline. But she says, the whole point of the second half of life is as we begin to decline physically, we grow more spiritually, so that the time of our death, we're all spiritual and little body. And men and women in middle life have to face that issue, and many don't want to. And I think that's one of the reasons for divorces. You know, they think another job, another woman, another whatever is going to make them feel better, where it really is a spiritual issue. It's much more a spiritual issue than it's anything else.
Well, to be able to grow in that spiritual relationship with God and to be able to become who he designed us to be, we do need to enter into prayer. And that's one of the beautiful things that you do here in the book is that you do as our late great Holy Father John Paul has pointed out, that if you want to be able to do that, go to the mystical doctors, go to those teachers who can help us to get where we're being called to go.
I'm so glad you brought that out. There's two parts of the book that I think are really, I have found already, women have been very appreciative. One is the stories of other women that mm-hmm. help them to see, oh, I'm not so different. There's women here that are expressing my concerns and my issues. But also, many women have loved reading and seeing that the mystics, the great friends of God, are human beings that have gone through the ups and downs of life. And that Thérèse of Lisieux, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, all of whom are doctors of the Church, have great wisdom to share with us about the spiritual journey, about how to grow deeper in our relationship with God in every season of life, and in many ways, how they did it in their own lives. Teresa of Avila had a midlife crisis at the age of 38. A lot of women don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed her whole future. She wrote her book, Interior Castle, at the age of 62. Lots of women don't know that. I mean, they lived well, and they struggled deeply, and they tried to be faithful to the presence of God in their life, and I think that's what they, I've tried to show their relevance in that way, so the women will really draw sustenance from the great friends of God in our tradition.
So important to draw from that, because many of us, I think, may feel, well, they're so far ahead of us. How can they possibly relate to what I'm going through right now?
But you know, if you, particularly the three that I draw on, if you know their life history, you see that they had came from very humble beginnings. Certainly, Thérèse of Lisieux came from a very humble beginning, and she had abandonment issues that she faced all her life. Mm-hmm. Because she was separated from her mother the first year of her life. Many people don't know that. They don't know how deeply that wound influenced her and what she did through God's grace to overcome it. John of the Cross was imprisoned, came from a very humble family, very poor family. I mean, these are not extraordinary individuals with extraordinary graces that really separate them out from us.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're men and women who tried to respond to God in the context of their life. And I tried to show that their spiritual doctrine comes out of their own struggles. It doesn't come out of a mystical experience at the age of three that just sets them apart from us. I find them to be very human, very real, and they're very important to me in my spiritual growth and development. So I figure if they can help me, then they can help others.
And now for an Inside the Pages excerpt from Weaving Faith and Experience, A Woman's Perspective, Seasons of a Woman's Faith. The spiritual life has been described by many images within our Christian tradition. One of the most dominant has been the ladder. Recall the hymn, "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder." The image is one of ascent. It is hierarchical. A person advances from one level to another, from an imperfect to a more perfect state. Another image that emerges in the Christian tradition is that of journey, the journey of our spiritual life, the journey of our relationship with God. This image reminds us that human life is not static. On the contrary, it is an ever-unfolding dynamic process. We may be moving forward, retreating backward, getting lost, and finding our way again. We are never standing still. While the images of ladder and journey are helpful, the image of season appeals more to women today as a lens through which to better understand the stages of their spiritual development. Our relationship with God has a seasonal quality to it. For example, we can speak of the spring of a newly discovered relationship with God, summer as a time of deeper reflection as to who God really is for us, autumn as a time for finding God in the midst of the successes and limitations of life. Winter, as a time of trustful faith as we seek God's blessing on our one and only life in the face of impending death. One season is not intrinsically better than another for our spiritual growth. Each has its own beauty, challenges, and graces. Also, we can cycle through the seasons many times and not always in their natural order. Most importantly, growth in the spiritual life are no longer determined by how quickly we move up the ladder, but by how we negotiate the challenges and invitations of each season. As personal relationships have their seasons, their ups and downs, peaks and valleys, periods of intimacy, as well as periods of contention and dryness, so too does our relationship with God. It is vitally important to point out that spiritual growth is not always in sync with human development. There are young women with a deep, mature spirituality and older women who are very young in the spiritual life. God works with us, helping us grow and mature through each season, no matter the pattern of our lives. We need to remember that grace is ever capable of surprising us at any time. You've been listening to an Inside the Pages excerpt from Weaving Faith and Experience, A Woman's Perspective. Now we return to our discussion with Patricia Cooney Hathaway. One thing I thought you did so beautifully is as we enter into that deeper relationship, we're always told about the stages that we could go through, whether it's the purgative way, the illuminative way, or ultimately that transforming union that we experience. But you help us to understand, and very concretely for where women are at in this season of their life, what does the dark night of the soul look like? What does those different steps look like in today's world and now relevant to our experience?
I'm happy to hear you say that, because that really was the focus of my book. I teach a course on the history of Christian spirituality, and I try to help the students to be able to see that these stages of spiritual growth and development that have been true to our tradition for a long time are still relevant today. And I find a lot of men and women that I have in spiritual direction or pastoral counseling, the dark night experience is very real. And what I mean by that is there comes a time in all of our life where what has given us meaning doesn't give us the meaning in the same way it did before, that every life experience ultimately has experiences of void or limit. And that's the time when God is asking us to choose a spiritual life, choose God, not because of the satisfaction it brings, but because it's the right thing to do and because we know really that that's where God is. And to stay the course and to be faithful. And in a society where instant gratification is the name of the game, for adults to be aware of what they need to do to grow spiritually is very important, that they don't allow the culture to dictate their response to the life situations that they're in.
Patricia, why has it been the case in the last 20 or 30 years that the teachings of these particular mystical doctors seem to have was set on a back burner in spiritual thought? So, I mean, a lot of people as the Catholic generation, I would say my generation, that we've lost the vocabulary, and even younger generations now and really don't even have the Catholic vocabulary of what the mystical doctors have taught us.
Well, that is a huge concern. I mean, we have young men coming in, and older men, quite frankly, coming into the seminary that really do not have you might say the prism out of which they look at life is not really influenced by the mystical life or the teachings of the Catholic Church. So we have a lot of work to do. But I also think, there was a discrepancy or separation up to Vatican II between the ascetical life and the mystical. Mm-hmm. The ascetical life was the practice of virtue, and for a long time that's all Catholics were ever introduced to. One of the professors at the seminary said he studied what it meant to live a life of virtue, but he never studied the life of the saints. Mm-hmm. And with Vatican II and the universal call to holiness, it's really the laity that rediscovered the saints of our tradition and insisted on a spirituality for the laity. It really is a movement that's gone from the ground up. And I think there's many books now that are trying to meet that need of men and women who feel called into a deep relationship with God and want to know how they can nourishment. And, of course, that turns us to the saints of our tradition.
And in the book, again, I mean, for me personally, I really related to those autumn years of our life. I mean, I'm entering into that. I'm experiencing that. What about that winter season? Can you speak to that?
Well, the winter season, 65 on, is such a mysterious time because there's been so little written on it. And I think that's because, people, I think, feel that if they don't have to think about it, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is what I try to say is that, first of all, as women have insisted in my interviews with them, they are still about making memories. They realize that there are polarities in life that they need to address. They need to address the whole issue of attachment and unattachment or reattachments with children going off, retirement coming on, sickness, diminishment, loss, and yet the constant call into doing something meaningful with their life. So the issues don't change. One of the big challenges of the final season is what Eric Erickson talks about is a kind of circling back, mm-hmm. and accepting the creative and the destructive elements of our life, accepting that within a relationship with God that both heals and forgives. And the big temptation of the final years can be despair, that, my life is more than half over, three-fourths over, I can't begin again. What kind of life have I had? And to really give the life that we've had over to the Lord with all its successes and its failures and ask Him to bless it and heal it as we move into, our final dealing with death. And, as Carl Rahner points out, we continue to determine who we are into the final moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of freedom, of giving the gift back of who we are. And we do that every day, and we do it up to the very end. But what I'm trying to do in the book is to help men and women become, and particularly here women, become more intentional about their life choices and where they're going and to walk upright into the future. I've had some women say, well, I don't want to know what's ahead. I said, well, you need to know what's ahead, mm-hmm. so that you can choose intentionally who you want to become, what you want to do with the final years of your life, and how you're going to give it all over finally to God.
Well, I think it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, I plan on giving this to several of my friends, and I encourage everyone to go out and get a copy of Weaving Faith and Experience, A Woman's Perspective by Patricia Cooney Hathaway. Patricia, I wish we could go into it more and more. Several sections in the book are just, well, they're all standouts. I do love at the end, the food for thought section. I mean, that's perfect for journaling.
Yes.
And people shouldn't be afraid to journal, should they?
No, they shouldn't be afraid to journal, because when you journal, I journal a lot, it helps me to realize what it is I'm thinking about,
mm-hmm.
and what's really important to me. And it provides you with the quiet, reflective time to really get in touch with what's going on in your heart. And the other good part of the book is there's a number of parishes in our area that are going to use it as a woman's book club study in the fall.
Excellent.
And I'm delighted about that, and I'm going to go out to some of those groups and introduce the Call to Holiness series and talk about the book, because it's got a lot of questions, as you had mentioned, at the end of each chapter, prayer at the end of each chapter, so that women reflect. It's a reflective book. It's not to be read quickly. It's to be savored.
It's excellent. Essentially, that's what prayer should be.
Yes. Yes, prayer should be, we go through stages of prayer, meditating, thinking, reflecting, which leads us usually into a loving affectivity, which is what we try to do in the book. We give you questions to think about, and then that leads us to prayer. And each chapter ends with a prayer that somehow flows out of the content of that chapter.
Also, the reflections are beautiful. I mean, they come from so many different, everyone from Pedro Arupi to, well, even some of the quotes in the beginning, Lillian Hellman. You could sit back and just kind of savor all these, again, as reflections, how I can relate to it or what it challenges me.
Well, I took a lot of time and effort and care in choosing those. I've worked on this material a long time, and I've really tried to get material from women who've gone before us that have expressed well the trials and challenges and graces of each season, so women realize that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that these issues are issues women have struggled with before and can give them encouragement and nourishment and direction.
Mm-hmm. Just wonderful. And, of course, the prayers. The prayers at the end. These are the kind of things that you can just keep by your nightstand or in the morning as you wake up or even during the course of your day, just something to kind of can bring you back into that anchor.
They're some of my favorites, yes. Yes, absolutely. They're written by, you know, men and women who wrote them out of their own experience. And again, each of them, I think, flows from the content of the book. It gives us a way of praying to the Lord about the issues and graces that we've been reading about. And then hopefully that leads us into our own prayer, which is what Lectio Divina is all about. We begin with someone else's thought, and that leads us into our own.
Patricia Cooney Hathaway, thank you so much for joining us. Any final thoughts on weaving faith and experience?
Well, number one, I'm just delighted that you have found it helpful. And I really do believe that men as well as women can benefit from it. I've given sessions all over on for men as well as women, but this one is particularly for women because a lot of times women don't have enough books that really help them focus on what are the issues and graces that are most important in their life. So I really hope women will read it and find that it gives them a sense of confidence, of nourishment, and direction in their life. And particularly to be really trustful that God is in every experience, every day, leading them to wholeness and holiness.
Beautiful. Again, perfect for individual reflection and study, or just even to bring it forward to a prayer group, book club, any type of circle, any type of ladies' guild. I just want to encourage people to get this out because it's going to be a deepen your prayer life and take you into even better relationship with God in your prayer. So a beautiful work. With Dr. Patricia Cooney Hathaway, we've gone inside the pages of Weaving Faith and Experience. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to franciscanmedia.com, the website for the publisher Franciscan Media, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we ask that you tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.